the amount of time that you've been putting them together, why is it so close for Piece of Paradise and Live at the Mule Spinner? What was the reasoning why these two are so close in the release dates?
Oh yeah, I really believe that Piece of Paradise is a summer album. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it's generally like it's a very, you know, sunny day vibe, kind of island vibe. And I just don't think it's, you know, it's not a great idea for me to release that in the fall. And I have this really big goal for, you know, I turned 30 last year. So I have this big goal and I want to do 10 albums in 10 years.
Okay, well, that's not a big goal. That's a doable goal, man. You can do that.
It's doable. Yeah, totally. And I think it was a good idea for me to do a live set and kind of cover all my bases and remind myself and remind the band and remind all my fans and family and friends that, you know, this is kind of me getting back on the horse. I haven't released something in over 5 years, you know.
Right.
It's been quite a while, so I've just been really antsy to do something. And during COVID, you know, when everything shut down, I really had time to step back, which, I mean, I was very grateful for. I had time to step back. I was spending a lot of time at home, and it made me dig deeper into these songs that I've recorded that I've never released.
Mm-hmm.
Including that Piece of Paradise album or my first EP that I did in California 8 years ago. I still haven't released that. Like,
there's this feeling that I told you, this feeling in my soul, yeah, this feeling that just won't go away.
2, 3.
I've been trying to show you so you can't say I never told you. Wait a while and try another day. But if you want flowers, then I'd find a bouquet. And yeah, if you want sunshine, I would lead you to Ace. Well, held up by both hands. For you, I'd surrender. And oh, my man. And oh baby, you've got me in awe. You were always worth an apology, saturated in sorries. Well, I'd give you my all. And if you want flowers, and I'll give way to my feelings. I'm held up by both hands. For you, I'd surrender. Oh, my man. You can't. for me. You know what this means? You've claimed your role. You captivate and continue to floor me. Please, babe, have mercy. If you want flowers, I'd find a bouquet. Yeah, if you want sunshine, I'll lead you to held up by both hands. For you and surrender, oh, my man.
Mark Howard and Daniel Lanois on that. It was awesome, but I just haven't.
You just haven't released it. Well, why do you think that is? Because it doesn't sound intentional. The timelines. I mean, what you said about the whole. This is a summer album, and so this is the type of music that I would want to put out in the summertime. But you just said you worked with Mark Howard and Dan Lanois, you know, two great Hamiltonians who went on to like produce pretty much everybody under the sun for the longest time, and yet that hasn't come out. Is it, what is it that's holding you back? Is it just, is it anxiety? Is it fear that it's not going to be received properly, or?
No, you know what? It's not really. I mean, there's just no really specific reason. You know, a few of the songs that I did with Lanois and Howard are covers, and I didn't want to release that as my first body of work.
Okay.
Just because I didn't want to be known as like a cover artist, for example, I didn't want to be pegged as that, and. I mean, my album was, we started working on my album, the first one, Dirty Sheet. We started working on that very closely after I did this EP. And, you know, I just felt so much more comfortable with, you know, releasing an album that I've written first.
Right, so you wanted to show people that you are a singer-songwriter or writer. Before you did get pigeonholed into something that you just didn't want to, like, it's, I mean, a lot of people make a great career out of singing covers and everything, but you just didn't want to be pigeonholed as that. You want to show yourself first, and then down the line you're going to release
exactly.
It. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Hey, it's Steel City Music, your host Gunner here. I'm talking with Laura Cole. She's from Hamilton. She's from New Orleans for a while, and she's also from Seattle and wherever else that we see her on social media. And it's great, funny chance to catch up with her. And we're chatting about some of her albums. Live at the Mule Spinner is up on Bandcamp as well as also Piece of Paradise and Come Be With Me, Love are on there as well. And there's also some more releases, so you should go and check them out. And we've been talking about some of the different music that she's been putting out and who she's been working with. Tell us a little bit about what you learned from working with what you've learned from Mark Howard and Dan Lanois working with them to how you operate as an artist now, as yourself, as your own unit.
I grew up with Dan Lanois. I mean, not at the same time because he's quite a bit older than me, but
right. But isn't your dad friends with him?
Yeah, they've been like best friends since high school.
Right. Okay.
Like grade nine or something. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I kind of lucked out in a way because I've gotten to sit at Dan's board and watch him work, whether it's with me or whether it's with a different person or if he's just working on a mix. you know, I get to watch that creation. I get to wait. I get to hang out and see what it takes, you know? I mean, he's produced the most incredible albums. I mean, they're moments in history of music, you know?
Right. So you absorbed all of you absorbed the experience of being there, but you weren't intimidated by it.
I think if I didn't have the previous connection that I did that I have with Lanwha, then I probably would have been very nervous.
Right.
But I mean, you know, he's my Uncle Dan. It's like, you know, I'm kind of the one that gets to poke at him and ask the questions that people would be usually maybe too scared to ask. Right.
Right.
And I mean, it's made me realize very fast that even if you are at the top, you're still a normal person. You know, you're still a normal person. It doesn't matter what you've done, really.
Right.
I mean, there's all sorts of respectable things, and I have high, high respect for a lot of musicians, but I do think, you know, growing up with Lanwha, it was just kind of, I recognize that so fast, and right. it's an easier way for me to connect with people than, you know, being starstruck.
There was a death in paradise, some trouble in love. I'm on the stairway to hell, but I can't seem to get enough. You're a cold-blooded lover. You've got a radical eye. This is the funeral party.
To treat them as an equal and as a human being. Now, how does it differ working with from Lanwha to Mark Howard?
With Mark, Mark and I didn't really get to sit around too much for when Mark Howard would be working with Dan. But yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from him too. when we did this EP, I mainly recorded it with Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And Lanois and I did a cover of To Make You Feel My Love. And it was a really cool process because that was my first real big recording session, I guess, let's say.
How did that make you feel?
It was really awesome because he took me around to different studios, right? So I didn't just get to sit in one studio. I got to go to Tony Mangurian's studio, who wrote all the Luscious Jackson records, and work with David Kalish, who played in Little Feat for 14 years after Lowell died. And, you know, I got to work with all these really cool people. I broadened my, you know, my musical understanding hugely because of the wide variety of songs that we did. You know, there was one that's more of like a funk tune. There's one that's kind of a reggae tune. And it was really fun to explore. And Howard really made me realize that I can use my voice in all sorts of different ways.
Right.
You know, especially when it came to different genres and different vibes. And
yeah.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence that way as a performer. And yeah, just the process was so intriguing to me.
Now, has being opening up to like different styles, as you say, that Howard has helped you with, has that changed how you approached writing songs at all?
I think it's given me the confidence to write something that's out of character for me.
To step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And I think that really, I mean, it really helped. It helps me so much all the time with songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it was really encouraging. It was a great, you know, it was a really fun experience. And I also got to work on the Ladies of the Canyon record with Howard and, you know, met great, great people and had the best time, and I got to watch him create this record from, you know, start to finish, which was amazing. It was so, you know, the vibe of the room was very chill. He realizes his, like, why he's there. You know, it's never about anything trivial. It's all about the artist. It's all about pulling something out of them that maybe they didn't know they had inside of them, you know? I think that's one of Mark and Lanois' biggest qualities, that they can pull something out.
Baby, see how I've been living, velvet curtains on the window too, keeps it bright and unforgiving, life from shining through. Baby, I remember all the things we did when we slept together in the blue behind your eyelids, baby. Sweet baby, purple flowers. I would spend hours soon smelling you for hours. Lavender, lotus blossoms too. Water the dirt, flowers last for you, baby. Sweet baby. Grapes and honeydew melon, enough fit for a queen. Lemon trees, they don't make a sound till the branches bend and fruit fall to the ground, baby. Sweet baby. Thank you. have changed. 'Cause I finally did it, baby. I got out of Hamilton. Baby, sweet baby, if it's all the same, I'd take the glory any day over the fame, baby. Sweet baby, I've been trying to enjoy all the fruits of my labor, and I've been crying for you, boy, but the truth is my savior. Baby, sweet baby, if it's all the same, I'd take the glory any day over the fame, baby. Sweet baby, I've been trying to enjoy all the fruits of my labor. I've been crying for you, boy, but the truth is my savior. And baby, listen, baby, if it's all the same, I'd take the glory any day over the fame, baby. Sweet baby.
When you say that pull something out of somebody, how did that make you feel when that happened to you? In regards to, as an artist, having someone make you like look at what you thought was a limitation that you could push past that.
At first, I was kind of. I mean, you know, I was young.
Well, yeah, but even first, if you're young, you get defensive, right?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Is I got, of course, I got defensive. I was, you know, I thought I knew everything, but. But I've, you know, of course I know that I don't, and it really, I mean, it's been such an incredible ride so far. And when it comes down to it, I mean, those guys really inspired me. They've opened up musical doors. I mean, mainly Lanois has opened up his entire musical life to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm so lucky. Like, I know I'm so lucky. I know that. But I never take it for granted, you know. Mm-hmm. I take every moment that I spend with Lanois to learn something. He's very eloquently spoken. He's, you know, he encourages me to be my best self, which is something not a lot of, I mean, I guess that's kind of the job of a mentor, but.
Yeah, well, it is a job of a mentor. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, he really, you know, he really, really, I don't know. He made me feel uncomfortable that I, like, you know, getting out of my shell. It took me a while to find my voice even, mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that's why I'm not. I haven't released those tracks yet. Who knows?
That could be possibly the reason, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It also could be, and I'm just, you know, I'm just on the outside here, is that is a totally different person than you are now.
Exactly.
Like, you know, when, oh God, you've gone through it and we've all gone through it. When the parental units go, hey, let's look at pictures of Laura when she was 7. Like, no, don't show anyone this. Please stop. You're killing me here.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and that's, exactly. You know, oh, here's my album that I did with these guys, and they're really well-renowned, but that's not me anymore.
Exactly, which I think, you know, there's something to be said for that as well. I have recordings from when I was 18, you know. I have two tracks that I started in New Orleans last year with members of the Neville Brothers, Brian yeah. Stoltz and Daryl Johnson. You know, like, I have all this music, but I think it's been a bit of a, you know, not a struggle, but I think I'm like overthinking my branding a bit and stuff like that.
You might actually be right on that. You know, I recently did an, you know, when I say interview, I don't like saying interview. because for some strange, I just don't. I feel like I'm a knob myself going, oh, well, I had the time to interview, blah, blah. It's like, shut up. You had a talk. You were talking with them. You had a chat. Like, this is us. This is us chatting. You know, like, what do I work for Rolling Stone? Work for Rolling Stone? Shut up, you knob. You know, it really is an obnoxious thing to say sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm ranting a little bit, but I really.
No, it's fine.
You know, but it's just so funny.
Get it out.
I know. But when you say stuff like that, it's just like, oh, man, shut up. You're not an interviewer. You never were. So stop it. But.
I see you're an interviewer. You're doing a good job.
But I call them chats. But I was actually chatting with Gareth Engster last week. And, you know, Gareth's doing this online thing coming up on the 25th. It's part of this the Do Well concert. There's an album being released. And there's a whole bunch of other people. And he said something that was so interesting in the chat. He brought up an author's name. And he said, no matter if it's good or bad, just do it, because it's better to do it and fail than to have never like done it. Like you have to,
it's true.
Even if it's bad, you should still put it out, you know, because here is something that you have done, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, even some of the songs that I've put out, they might not be my best song. They might not be my favorite song, but they are to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I found that so interesting. And, you know, Melissa Marchese is my best friend. She's from Hamilton, Ontario. She's also a singer.
I love her.
I know, me too. She's the best. And during our COVID hangouts, she was like, hey, remember that time you made like 3 albums and didn't release any of them?
Thank you.
I was like, okay, fair enough. But, you know, she's been a big hand in guiding me and trying to, you know, kind of encourage me, you know, me to put this stuff out. Like I said, it might not be my favorite, but it might be somebody else's, you know.
Might be. Well, with these albums that are coming out now. Okay, so you did that stuff with the Neville Brothers. You said you have these 2 songs and this track. So that stuff could be put together on the next album that you put together, a collection of songs, that sort of thing. But where are you now as far as your music camp? Because I talk about this with older artists, younger artists, that sort of thing. Like, who surrounds you that helps you get your music out there? And because, you know, I mean, people can go to Bandcamp and they can find it. But who's out there actively going, hey, this is Laura Cole. She's from Hamilton, Ontario. She's available for interviews. Like, who's trying to push you towards people to listen to your music?
I mean, I currently don't have a PR agent or anything like that. But I've been single-handedly doing all my managerial and the booking of interviews and stuff like that.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I've taken it on to do by myself until I can't. Right. We're almost there.
We just got to get rid of this stupid pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that's the other thing. I mean, I can't release a studio album at the beginning of a pandemic. It just, you know, it's something I really want to tour. You know, Chris and I made this album. We're both so proud of it. And we know it has a lot of potential. Not only with, you know, the songs that we wrote, but our production style and everything, really. Mm-hmm. So I just chose not to put it out. But I think this live record, it bridges everything, you know. When it comes to my work, I look at the big picture, you know. I want to see or be remembered of times that I've gone through in my life when I look back at my catalog. And that not only will come through in songwriting or things like that, but, you know, last year was kind of the first year of the rest of my life, you know. I ended up working with Kim Mitchell a whole bunch. I sang on his new record, and we just did a tour right before COVID hit.
That's right. I saw some pictures of you singing backups.
So he was just inducted to the Songwriter Hall of Fame and did a little bit. You know, Kim's a rocker, right?
Yeah.
So he toned down like 3, it was 4 songs, and we sang them together at the beginning of the first set, and it was just so special.
Was that with a full band, or was it just yourself and him?
It was me, Kim, and a piano player.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. So that kind of lends to you to what you're doing in that soul singing funk vibe.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes sense that you were doing it out there. I want to ask this question earlier when you were talking about the influences, when we're talking about writing music and everything. Ladies of the Canyon, has that led you to try to do some songs in the country vein, in the indie folk vein, that sort of thing?
Oh man, I get this question a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I only thought of that just because of the Ladies of the Canyon comment that you made. Because when I first saw you, I was DJing at This in Hollywood, and I think it was like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. Like, it was a long time ago. And
yeah,
there's
sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. And there was like, I was like, there was a good crowd that came in, and I think there was like a lot of people. I'm going, I think most of these people are Burlington people. And I like, you know, I thought Pete Cannon or Pete was there, and Adam Cannon, and just different people that I had met through the radio station. And I didn't really know that much about you. And then when you hit the stage, it was just like, boom. Like your band was just super tight, and you had like some great vocals. And the first couple songs, I went, oh, no one's doing this. Not like it was like something brand new that you were doing, but to me, it had the vibe of Northern Soul out of the UK.
Love it.
Like you know, I was actually just talking about Northern Soul to another friend of mine who had no idea what it was. And it was me. It was a discovery process of listening to music. But that's what I thought. I was just like, oh, well, this is, you know, someone from over here is sounding like Northern Soul. And then I thought, she must have been rifling through her dad's record collection as a kid. Like, you know what I mean?
I did. Yeah, I did do that.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing. Okay, yeah.
My first like intro to knowing that I wanted to sing for sure, you know, I mean, I always sung as a child, but knowing that I really wanted to take something and do something with this career was when I saw Bonnie Raitt live. I was 13 and I knew.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yeah. Oh man. She's like my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like total girl crush, but she's, you know, she's really, really inspired me. Actually, one of the tunes on this live record, the first time I heard it, she did a rendition of it and kind of popularized it.
What was the song?
Sippy Wallace tune, and it's called Women Be Wise.
Oh, really? Okay. And you just picked that just based upon her doing it. You're such a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's such a great song. It's kind of got that New Orleans vibe, that swanky song, you know?
Yeah.
So as a few of you may know, I did spend a little bit of time in New Orleans this year. And, ooh, child, I learned some things. I'll tell you, the next record, ooh, it'll be better than the first two. And that's how we hope it keeps going for us musicians. Women be wise, keep your mouth shut, don't advertise your man, and don't ever sit around holding no conversation. Explain what your good man do to you. These women nowadays, Lord, they ain't no good. They'll laugh in your face, then try to steal your man from you. Our women be wise, keep your mouth shut, don't advertise your man. Oh, your best girlfriend, she might look like a highbrow. I've seen her change it at least 3 times a day. And what do you think she's doing now while you're so far away? She's a loving young man in your own damn bed. Better call for the doctor, mama. Try to investigate your head. You got to be baptize, young man. Don't sit around, girl, telling me all your secrets about those good things he really can do. See, you talk about your baby, you tell me he's so fine. Lord, honey, I might sneak up and make him mine. And women be white, keep your mouth shut, don't advertise, young man, don't be the truth.
I brought up the doing country songs just because of the comment of Ladies of the Canyon, that sort of thing. So is there,
yeah,
you said you get this question all the time. What do you, how do you answer it?
I do love old country. I love old.
Well, what are we talking old country though? What's,
you know, like stuff that's considered folk now. Right, like Emmylou Harris and Steve Earle and, you know, Willie
Well, that's,
Nelson.
Yeah, that's the old country, yeah. Okay, yeah, old country is like Waylon Jennings, you know, that's, but, you know, Tennessee Porter. But when you say like Emmylou Harris, it makes me think of Graham Parsons, which is the genesis of country rock for me. So would that be a style that, or a style of writing that you would be opening up to doing? Or is it just not you?
I think I've actually considered doing a side project. I wouldn't want it to, like, you know, I always have such a love for what I, you know, how I create the songs that I create. But some of the songs I do write come out a bit country. And I was thinking about actually starting a side project.
Well, you got enough of a time. Called what, sorry?
Elsie.
Elfie, as in Michael Caine's version of Elfie from the late 60s? Elfie or Elsie?
Like, Elsie, like E-L-L-E-S-E-Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why that name? why that side project?
Because, well, it's actually a big joke because I think there was like a milk commercial or something that was Elsie the cow. Back in the day. Right?
There
and
was,
Elsie
yeah.
Is, yeah, right? And then Elsie, like my initials, Elsie.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were saying Elfie, and I'm like going, she's really going for the Northern Elfie. Soul UK 1960s vibe here. But she's stuck.
I love it.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so I mean, who knows?
Right.
Maybe in the midst of releasing all these other works that I have, maybe I'll start a country side project, you know?
You never
Why not?
Know. Yeah. Okay, so what are you going to do now? Now that we get the music sitting there and of course you have to push this live show that you were supposed to be doing for your 31st birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. It's coming up.
Thank you.
But what do you want to do now? Like what's on the agenda now?
I'm buckling down. I mean, I have so many songs written that are also sitting around. I haven't recorded them yet, but I do have a lot of stuff in my song bank, which is going to be turned into something new.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe I could do two albums next year.
Oh, God. You're really trying to get a jump on this 10 album thing, eh?
Right. Well, if I figure if I just like front load, then I can coast.
Okay. All right.
Hey, this is Laura Cole. For more about me and my music, visit my website at lauracolemusic.com.
One day, you aren't in love with me. Charm me, disarm me, by my side like you want to be. Bore me, adore me, without you, babe, I'd rather not be. Flaunt me, taunt me, depends on where you would rather be.
Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
All right, some Canadiana music in this set here for you on Steel City Music. Hey, it's Gunnar, your host, hanging out with you this afternoon on The Hawk from 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. In this hour, my buddy Brian Webb, singer from the Cosentines, station manager at The Hawk. He'll be leaving the radio station shortly to resume some duties back in Guelph, and he's just a super cool dude. So I was thinking about him the other day, and coincidentally, I came across these two cool videos on YouTube. One of the Cosentines, I believe, back in 2015, performing, and also a year before of Brian himself performing with some friends on stage, one of which was Aaron Goldstein. I had no idea Aaron played with Brian. So in this set of music, you're going to hear Goosebumps, Shower of Stones, National Hum, Young Lions, Nighttime Anytime, Young Offenders, Into Draws, all from the Cosentines, okay? And then there's the three songs from Brian Webb and the Providers, the track Low Life and Undertaker. This music, I just actually ended up taking the audio portion of both of these videos that was so brilliantly shot at Massey Hall. You can go to their website and check out more videos, that sort of thing, of some of the artists that have performed there. And boy, read about now, don't you wish you could go to Massey Hall and check out his show, you know? Just to, even if people were to sit six seats over, wouldn't it just be great? And watching this, I just couldn't believe how great it was shot, so I just looked around a little bit on it and I went, Mitch Fillon did the photography on this, the videotaping, is that what it is? The filmmaking, the artistic filmmaking from Southern Souls. So starting off the set of music is ASA, I believe, A-S-A. Here's Brian Webb for you on Steel City Music.
I played at Massey Hall once before with Feist. Rich Burnett and I opened up as a duo when my first record came out, and it was I was incredibly honored. It's probably my dream venue. Anywhere in the world I could play, it would be Massey Hall. And I was terrified that night, more nervous than I think I've been, since I first started playing music. And I'm hoping maybe tonight I can keep myself together a little bit and enjoy being in the room with the full band. The six-piece band, the Providers, are backing me up tonight, so it's an honor to be back with them. So as I understand it, Massey Hall was built in the late 1800s, and it's one of the most, beautiful, classic, old, wooden theaters still left in this part of the world that's been preserved and kept up to its original glory. It has a resonance with everyone that's ever been there, and anyone that's ever performed there, I think, has a reverence for this beautiful old theater.
I love this town like a hunter. In this town, I'm the undertaker. I'm known by everyone with a debutante. Standing by.
Thank you. My name is Bri Webb. These are the providers. The providers and I are very honored to be here tonight. Thank you for having us.
Reckoning on the reason.
time. Define his mind and body. Define their face. First call. And ask for animal. Reckon it. An angle bent with ancient purpose. My people. Never damn a single sin. Walk in love and often say, dance to our misgiving.
Thank you. You.